Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord. God bless you once again. Radio listeners, this is Pastor Lola Starling with the Multi-Word International Ministries, and I am just so blessed, and I am so blessed to be able to come before you tonight and to give God the praise and the glory and the honor, because I recognize it's only Him. It's not me. It's just Him. And I thank God for another chance at life today. And I thank God for allowing me to have use and activities of my limbs and closed in my right mind. I'm just blessed, praise God, to be able to say, Lord, I thank you and I appreciate you. And tonight, praise God, we're not going to, praise God, just we spoke about time, because time, praise God, is goes so fast that we have to get started, praise God, and go into the Word tonight, because I believe the Word is going to be like a three or four part a series, because, praise God, the message tonight is just an awesome teaching, and I'm giving God the glory and the honor for it, and thanking God for the opportunity to be able to bring it forth, praise God. And it is a word, praise God, it is a needed word. And I give God glory for it. And I pray, praise God, tonight to those, for those, praise God, that do not know you, Father God, that is yet living the life, praise God, without you entering into it. But God, I pray, praise God, they will open their hearts and their minds, and to receive you into them, praise God, that you may be able, praise God, to sit with them and they with you. And they be able to come to become your children, and you become their God. But Father God, what an awesome relationship. And I pray, praise God, that they will seek you while you yet can be found. And in order to do that, you would need to, praise God, go to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I am a sinner, and I need to be saved. Save me, Lord. Save me. Wash me with your word. Wash me as white as snow. And Father God, that I may be able, praise God, to be connected to you, and that I will no longer be a bastard, but I will be a child of God. And Father God, I thank you, because your word declared, if you have not the Spirit of God, then you are not of his. It is the word. It is the word of the Lord. And I pray, praise God, that we know, praise God, you say that we are not your children, we are not your sons, then we are bastards and not sons. And Father, I thank you, God, for allowing me to become as one of your sons. I thank you, praise God, because somebody said, well, how is she a son? She's a lady, because we know that the word declares that it is neither Greek nor Jews nor Greek. Okay? It's neither Jews nor Greek. But we are as all one in Christ Jesus. We are one. I'm neither male nor female. But in Christ Jesus, I am equal, and I thank God for him. Thank you, Father. But tonight, praise God, I don't want to keep coming talking, praise God, and going on, because the word is just good all by itself. And tonight, I want you to go and get your word. Go get your word, praise God, and go to the book of Revelation. Revelation means to expound, means to open up, means to discover. And we're going to be talking tonight and going through, praise God, the book of Revelation. The book, praise God, Revelation 3, 14 through 22. Revelation. You know, praise God, many don't want to talk about Revelation because they're afraid of that book. But this book is life itself. This book, praise God, is what everything has an end. And we have to know about this book as well as we know about all the other books of Daniel and Elijah. You know, Elijah and John and Mark and Matthew. All these books are important. So tonight, we're going to be talking to them in the book of Revelation 3, 14 through 22. And tonight, praise God, we're going to be talking about something, praise God, that God even talks about himself, because he is a part of this. He is this book. And tonight, we're talking about, praise God, the churches in the book of Revelation. And one of the churches, praise God, that he was talking about is called Laodicea. Laodicea. You see, Laodicea is a church, because out of all the seven churches, Laodicea, praise God, is the one that made him sick at his stomach. The Bible tonight, if I had to give you something to just kind of think about to keep you, praise God, focused, Laodicea, God said, you make me sick. Laodicea, says the Lord, you make me sick. And tonight, praise God, As I begin, praise God, to go into the Word, I want to let you know, just taking a little while, but it has been a honor. We finally arrived, praise God, at this church. And this is the church of Laodicea, which is the seven churches of Revelation. And a couple of these churches have been good, but a glance at most of these churches reveal some serious problems. Just like today, praise God, our churches are in serious problems and downwards and slide. And that begins with the loss of the first love, you see? Because, praise God, our churches today, we're in love with us. We're in love with what we do in our church. We're in love with what goes on in our church. But we are not in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we was in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, we would preach the unadulterated gospel. We would preach the word, praise God, that people will come, praise God, crying out to be saved. But they only come now, praise God, to hear a word that would tickle their flesh. So our churches today is like the church in Laodicea. We are in trouble. We are in trouble, people. You're in trouble, and we have lost our first love. In Ephesians, praise God, there's a connotation with the total, you know, the total part of Laodicea. And this church has gotten so far away from what God has founded it to be that it has literally made him sick. And just like the church of today, I know God is sick. He is generally just totally sick to his stomach to see the things that are going on in the places we call the church. We are Laodiceans. We are Laodiceans today because we make him sick. Now, before I go, praise God, a little further, I would like to remind you that these letters to the church can be reviewed from three, because of three aspects of it. It can be reviewed, praise God, as practical. It can be reviewed, praise God, as prophetically. And it can be reviewed, praise God, as personally. Yes, there's three parts that we need to consider about these churches. And you see, praise God, God is at the point in his life right now that he is so sick of the churches in America talking about they are of God, they of this and they of that. They are more to themselves than they are of God. Because you know why? You know why? Because it's all about them. They're all concerned about the programs and this one, and raising money for that. And let's have this program. Let's have this anniversary. Let's have this song sung in the church. That is nothing to do with salvation, my people. It is all to do with what you want to do. And God is saying, you make me sick. You make him sick at his stomach. You understand me? Because we says right here, it said that these letters speak to every Christian and to every church that reads them. They have a word for you as an individual, and they have a word for us as a congregation. If we're going to understand our Lord's word to this church, a little background on the city of Laodicea is in order. See, this city was found in Antioch. It sometimes is about 200, during the time of 253 B.C., before Christ. It was named after the wife of Laodicea. It was named after, he was named after his wife. The city was located on a high plain. It was very, very secure from the enemy's attack. The one defense problem in Laodicea was the fact that there was no really ready resources of water in that city. The water had to be piped in through, you know, the ducts, water ducts. It had to be piped in off of a hot spring. And even so, the water was also piped in from Colossus, which is also located about 10 miles to the east. The fact we will be important as we move into what we're talking about today. This city was famous in its day for three primary characteristics. It was famous for three of them. Mm-hmm. The first one was finances. The second one was fashion. The third one was pharmaceutical. Yes, pharmaceutical. Uh-huh. There was a famous medical school in Laodicea which produced a tablet that was sold all over Rome Empire, and this tablet was crushed, mixed with water for a paste. This paste was rubbed into the eyes and was supposed to cure a variety of eye problems. With this background in mind, listen to me carefully. Let's look at some of these verses I want to talk to you about. But God is saying the church in Laodicea had made me sick at my stomach, and the churches in America is just as Laodicea. They make me sick at my stomach. He is sick at them. Oh, Jesus. Hey, God. Yebasi. I think these words are particularly relevant in our days of the church of today. Laodicea and people who call themselves Christian, but who has no Laodicea mentality and is bound in our world. The Lord Jesus came to this rich, powerful church, and he said to them, Laodicea, you make me sick. Let's take that statement now as our title today. And let me find out why he said to these people, you make me sick. Let's also see if there was a word here for our churches and for us as individuals. The first thing we look at, praise God, in verses 14 and 17, the prophet Laodiceus. Jesus came into the church without a single word of condemnation as he considered their works and their ways. He had nothing good to say to them at all. He simply come to them and laid out the problem as he sees them. We do everything we want to do, praise God, in these churches. We have programs. We have bingo. We have robotics, whatever you call it, exercises. We do. It has nothing to do with God. It has nothing to do with salvation, people. It is a form of godliness. Hey, God, Yatabusa, the problem of the possession. Notice the word, the church, a lot of sins. If you would take this time to look at each other of these letters in Revelation 2 and 3, you take time and look at this in Revelation 2 and 3, and you will see the words, the church of or the church in. And then in the name of the city, in other cities, it was the Lord's church in that city. In Laodiceus, it was their church. You got churches sitting right now. People won't even let you come in and do nothing. Go in there, you to take that. They act like it's a god. They act like it's a God, and it's supposed to be put there for the people that could go in there and want to pray and go in there and seek the Lord, but they got it locked down like it's a prison camp. Hallelujah. That's right. It is your church. It's not God's church. He identified the problem as possession. It was a church, and they did as they pleased. That's what they do, not considering the will of the Lord. They did as they pleased. We must never forget why the churches exist. It is a platform that allows us to become well-known in our world. It is not a form for us to advance on our agendas or ideals. It is not a place that we can run or dominate. The church is not our church, people. It is his church, and that's where the problem comes in. It's my church. I built this church. This is my church. God, I mean to let you know God ain't in it. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus died for the church. He purchased it with his own blood in Acts 20 and 28. He built it and he sustained it in Matthew 16, 18, 19, Ephesians 2, 19 and 20. The church exists for his glory. We are here for him and him and him alone. Our duty is to preach his word, praise him, promote him, and publicize him, not publicize you as a pastor or you as the overseer or you as this. It's not about you. He said, you make me sick. This is not your church. This is not my church. It is his church. He possesses it, and he is to control it. We need no other Lord but Jesus. No man, no group, no man, and no congregation is qualified to take his place. We need no one that can take his place. We must forever keep his church and his ministry centered in him. But many, praise God, today, they centered it around them. They don't say God's house. They say, oh, you know, Pastor such and such about his church. It's not your church. Well, maybe it is. That's why it's not growing, and that's why nothing is going on, because it's yours. But if you would do it the way God sent for it to be and for it to be at the first beginning, you would be overflowing. But this is why, praise God, they are not being added daily, because it's your church. The problem of passion. Jesus tell them, praise God, that like the water in their city, they have become lukewarm. Remember that water problem we spoke about earlier? They had no water in this big time because the Lord said they had no water. They had to pump their water in from someplace else. Colossians had to pump their water in from someplace else. That was a problem. I spoke of earlier, water from the hot springs. It was 6 miles away from where they brought into the city by aqueducts. By the time it reached the Laodicea, the water was no longer hot. It was lukewarm. Cold water from Colossians was also piped in. By the time it reached the Laodicea, the water was lukewarm as well. Lukewarm water makes getting refreshment. And Laodicea is difficult. The church had also become lukewarm. Like the people of the day, we have become lukewarm because everything is yours. It has nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with him. Your program. Yes, your program. God on your own program. If you let him do it, your church will be running over. You'll have room to receive. but because it's yours. This means that they had lost their passion for the things of the Lord. They had become indifferent and, you know, and apathetic. They had become that. They had reached a place where they were going through the motion, but they were unmoved by the things of the Lord. Apparently, my people, they were indifferent towards the cross of Jesus, the word of God, and the condition of the lost of people around them. They didn't have nothing to do with it because all they could see was what it was for them. It was my church, my congregation, my people. They're not your people. They're God's people. It is not your church. It's God's church. Neither were they totally dead. They weren't totally dead, but they was cold. They were somewhere in between. Their condition made Jesus sick to his stomach. And this is what he's saying. If you would notice, praise God, this is not the condition of the modern church. People are going through the motion, but there is no burning passion for the things of the Lord. They only dress up to come so people can see what they have on, with the pastor can say, oh, you look so good. That's what it was. Not about soul winning. It's not about preaching the word, unadulterated gospel. It's not about, praise God, doing the way God wanted to be done. Church people that are out there are no longer moved by the cross. They are moved by the, but they read about the crucifixion. They hear about it, and they sit unmoved. Church people that are out there are unmoved by the plight of the lost. They have no concern for the lost of souls. We're having a revival. You have a revival. Nobody come to be saved. Nobody even come into the altar. You don't even have an altar in there. You got to move chairs out the way to get to the altar. Come on, somebody. Hey, God. They know people are lost. And they know the lost people are going to hell. But they really don't care. They say, that's terrible. I wish they would get saved. But they don't pray or witness because they don't care. Every church in our day is a study. Is a study, praise God. They're not exactly dead because they're praying and they say they're preaching and they're singing, etc. But they are not exactly on fire either. I heard Jeremiah say the word of God was like fire shut up in my bones. I can't hold my peace. They sit there like frogs on a log. There is no excitement, no passion about it. They want to hear certain people speaking, certain people they don't want to hear, who they serve, what they hear, and what they're doing. They're somewhere in the middle of the road. But that is where the modern church is, people. You know, the church takes their seat, fold their arms, and say, bless me if you can. They never feel the need to go to the altar to pray. Hey, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, my God. Altar? What altar? They got to make room for the altar, to get to the altar. They never feel the need to go to the altar and pray. They never feel the need to testify. They can't testify because they have nothing to testify about. They have not talked to Jesus. When the last time Jesus talked with you and you talked with him? What kind of testimony do you have that you can say what the Lord done for you since you got saved? You say you got saved. They never feel a need to do anything but come and go. How can you hear about Jesus, his love for your soul, his death for you and all that he had done for you, and remain unmoved? How can you know him and never be moved by his relationship? I certainly don't expect anyone to respond to that because they get mad when they hear it, but honey, the truth will help you out. Yes, it will. Hey, it will help you out. But I think there ought to be some signs of life. Show some emotion, some hints that the Spirit is moving by the word, not by the music, hallelujah, not by what the pastor get up there jumping because you want to hear his voice, but by moved by the word of God, the Spirit of God, and the work of God. What is the passion for the things of God? There are some major problems with our churches today as we continue to go. It is the hardest kind of church to pastor. The people believe is right. They come in and they come out. They're building, but they are indifferent. They've heard it all and are totally unmoved by it. This is the kind of indifference that's hard to take. Yes, Jesus. I'd rather, give me five righteous. If he could find five righteous, he would have not destroyed the city of Gomorrah, but it was not even five. You see, people most today, praise God, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. When the word of God is toned down a little, that I had to, you know, they make you turn down, come down with a little bit. Oh, don't speak so hard. You know, speak love, baby, love you. This is love. Love is telling me the truth and don't send me to hell and pat me on my back. Yes. They don't just care if people are saved or not. They don't care. If they aren't, that's fine too. If the preacher is good, great. If not, well, that's okay too. That's a tough attitude to handle. People are so discomplacent right now. They don't know. They don't want to hear nothing about no God. All they want to hear something to make them buck and shout, buck and buck, 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 dance, 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 dance. That's what they want to hear. That's what they want. But let me just say this, and I will move on, praise the Lord. There are some things about which you cannot be indifferent about. Indifferent and just be sorry and nonchalant are not the option when it comes to Jesus Christ. No one who is right with God can pass the Calvary and see the Lord bleeding, broken, and dead and be unmoved. No one can hear the claim of Christ and be just nonchalant. He claims to be God in the flesh. He claims to be the only Savior. He laid absolutely claim on to our life and mind. No one can walk in the middle of the road when it comes to Jesus for him or you are against him. Yes, you must either accept him or you might just stone him. Jesus, you can't have it that real way. This is not the Burger King. He said, you have become lukewarm, Laodiceus. You make me sick at my stomach. See, there's a problem, praise God, with preconception. When the people in Laodicea looked at themselves, they saw the perfect church. You know, some people say, child, we got the perfect church. And all you see sitting up in there is every one of you, every Sunday, everybody, no new faces, no sinners. Everybody coming in dressing because they want to be seen. Fashion show. Fashion show. Where the sinners at? Who you bring with you to the church? Who you invite to come to church is unsaved? Just you, yourself, and I. They were wealthy and they was powerful and they felt they had it all that they needed. You guys in the chat, they think they got the best church in the world. But God said, you're lukewarm. You make me sick at my stomach. They looked at their positions, their possessions, and their power, and they say, we have arrived. Oh, Jesus. And there they sat, indifferent, all pious, unmoved. And they thought they were in good shape. The problem with this attitude is that, my friend, it is based in blindness. Jesus tells them that they are totally wrong about what they have and where they are. We look at the words to them in just a few minutes, but now we need to remember that how we see ourselves and how we see us may be two different things altogether. Yes. Sadly, many churches are right here today. There is a sense that they have arrived. Oh, yes, and I can call them out by the hundreds. We've arrived because we got this and we got this and we got this one going to our church. And this one came to see us. And this commission came. And that commission came. Yes, okay, all right. And now if you walk into the average church today and told them they needed a revival, they would be offended. A revival to save souls and not money and not fashion. Your church. Did you encourage them to get on fire for God? They would say, look at us and all we have. We're doing fine and we need nothing. The devil has blinded you and he's a liar. Hey, Jesus, I pray that we never reach that place. The sad truth is that some people never get more excited about money in the bank than when they do souls on the altar. Oh, my goodness, what altar? There is no altar. Where is the altar in the church? They got it gated off. They get more stirred up about the big numbers on the board than they do about sincere worship of the Lord. They're more blessed. They are more blessed by what they have than what the Lord is showing up and moving in the service. How do we see ourselves? How do we see our churches that we attend? I'll tell you, what we need is what? More money, more than the crowd, more than the building, more than the recognition in the community, more than many things we place. That's great value. We need Jesus, and we need what he can do for us. Jesus is not in our services. We are. We'd rather have him. Wouldn't you rather have him, be in his presence, in his power, than anything material you can name? We need him. We must seek him. We must welcome him. We must worship him. Yes. In some ways, the church is like an airplane. An airplane is around. An airplane is about the only vehicle that does not have brakes, only when it's coming down. When the airplane stops, it goes forward. It starts going down. That same is the truth with the church. When the church stops moving forward, when the church loses its vision, when the church stops being passionate about Jesus, and hey, God, and what he can do for them, they are headed for a rough landing. And I'll say it again. We need Jesus in our churches. The problem of Laodicea, we have it. We got it. America, you full of it. Laodicea is all over America. It's like a contamination. It's like a spread of a disease. The church is in trouble. But not you, but all hope is not lost. There is hope. Jesus come to give them the cure for their ailment. He cures some in the form of a what? A divine appearance. Yes. He comes as the confirming one. Amen. Mm-hmm. D's up. He comes as the controlling one. He is only called the beginning of the creation of God. This identifies Jesus as the creation and the control of all things. Not a speck of dust can move in this universe without his permission. He is in control. He comes to the church that thought he was running as it should his own show. Jesus came to remind them in Laodicea that it is in spite of what they might think, his hand is still on the wheel. His hand is still on the wheel, people. And he is the one who's controlling the church. You may think it's your church, but how blind are you? It will do you well to remember who Jesus really is. He is still God. Final word to the church. He's the one who knows us better than, hallelujah, we know ourselves. He's the one who's in control. In spite of what you think, people, he's in control. He gave him a divine announcement. He has the word for the church. Hear Jesus. In verses 15, he said, the Lord desired for the church. The water situation in Laodicea is reflected in the church. By the time the water reaches Laodicea, it is no longer possessed the therapeutic properties of the hot water out. You see, by the time it gets there, It is no good. It's lukewarm. It's not out there. And this is why he said, then he tells the people in the church that he wants them to be neither hot nor cold. He wants the church to be a place people can relax and find healing like a trip on a hot spring. He wants his church to be a place where people can be refreshed by the worship and in his presence. Not in your presence, but in his presence. The church should be healing and healing. And it should be a place of refreshment. I heard on the other men describing, praise God, like a Dr. Baptist and Oasis. I like that. You see, because the Lord disgusts with the church. He's disgusted because of their condition. The Lord tells them that he will spew them out of his mouth. The word spew is a strong word. It means to vomit, to throw you up. The Greek word is called emno. It means, praise God, we get out of English words. And praise God, it means something that makes you want to throw up. For instance, it comes in, praise God. They give you something in the medical, praise God, in the church, in the hospital when you go. They give it to you, and it makes you, the drug is often used to induce vomit in case of poisoning. Lukewarm supper water. Jesus tells the church that a drink of lukewarm water, they make him want to vomit them out of his mouth. What he means is this. He cannot and will not tolerate their indifference and their stupidity. I do not want to be part of any church that brings disgust to our Lord. Let me say this, please. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Lord describes the description of the church is according to verses 17. They thought they had it all. He looked at them and told them, you have nothing. They were proud of their achievement. Jesus called them wretched. praise God, troubled and miserable, and which mean to be pitied. They were proud of their wealth. Jesus tells them they are actually poor. The word means destitute and reduced to begging. They were proud of their vision of themselves. Jesus tells them that they are blind and they cannot see themselves as they really are. And someone said, there is no one so blind as he who will not see. Jesus. Hey, God, proud of their fashion and their fine clothing. Jesus tells them that you are naked. They are totally exposed and revealed for what they really are. To be naked in the society was the ultimate humiliation, and now it is a badge of honor. God is saying to us today, my people, the church, praise God, is in trouble. God is saying, praise God, we need to come back to our first love, to our first love. And the Lord is saying to us today, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. You are claiming my church. It is my church. Let it be. Let it be said. That is my church, not your church. Yes, that's what he said. It is his church. You've been claiming it all this time. You're lukewarm saints. He said, I will spew you out of my mouth. I will have nothing to do with you. You make me sick. The church of Laodicea, he say, it makes me sick. Sick at my stomach. I can't stomach you. You make me sick. Praise God. I thank God for this part, praise God, but our next praise God, the next praise God, teaching praise God, on Revelation, praise God, Laodicea Church, you make me sick, says the Lord. We will begin, praise God, we begin at verses 17 through 18, a divine advertisement. Jesus tells his church exactly where they can find all they need. Until this time, praise God, tomorrow, tune in, praise God, because the Lord has a lot to say to the churches of America. You churches of Laodicea, you make me sick, saith the Lord of hosts. And I pray, praise God, that you hear this word, take heed. If they will come to him, put him first, and live out the word of God, they will know true riches. You be blessed. You be blessed.